Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone, welcome back to the SC Report podcast for yet another week. The buys are finally here. Round 13, Origin's only 7 days away. You got myself, Nick here, and my usual co-host on the other end of the line, who, if our WhatsApp messenger group is anything to go by, is going to be coming in hot this week because he's pumped up. He's in the top 500. He's ready to tell everyone all about it. It's Wenin. How are you, mate?
What are you talking about, mate? I thought I'd be pretty modest throughout all of this. I'm just a humble kind of guy, you know that.
Mate, how many people have you told to delete team this week?
Well, if you didn't have such a shit team, I wouldn't have to tell you. Fair dinkum, just delete.
I've got more players than you this week, and you're telling me to delete.
Well, where are you ranked, champ?
Mate, that's a good segue. That's what they call a segue in the business. I'm ranked about 1,400th. Jumped up quite a bit this week, though, about 600 spots, which I was pretty happy with. And you obviously had a big jump this week. What was your overall rank for round 12?
439 was the weekly rank, which pushed me from 1,200th, I think, into 487. So it's super tight, hey? It's yeah, 1 week it's just fluctuating. I think I was top 500 a month ago, went out to the top 3,000, and now I'm back into the top 500. So it's a very tight competition this year.
Yeah, it is, mate. No, but you're doing very well. If someone said to you, I'm sure at the start of the year before the buys you'd be top 500, you would have taken that, definitely.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Good stuff, mate. Like we said, buys have started this week, so only the four NRL games. We will cover all of the usual stuff on the podcast this week. We'll start with a bit of strategy talk for this week. I'm sitting on 12 players at the moment, definitely planning on making two trades to get to 14. I think you're around about a similar number as well. I think if we can get 13 or 14, we should continue to move up the ranks this week. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that seems reasonable. I don't think that 17 is possible, and if you've got 17, I think you're really going to struggle in round 17. So anywhere between 12 to 14 seems to be a pretty good number, and there's lots of guns within that lot too.
Yeah, there definitely is. Fifita, Burgess, Tapau, Tamalolo, some of the outside backs, you know, centre wing guns. There's definitely quite a few there, so we'll cover those guys. We've been covering them for the last month or so, but we'll talk about them again briefly. Perfect week for the VC loophole this week, obviously with not having 17. So put your vice captain on someone playing early. If they get a good score, you put your captain on a non-playing player and you'll secure that VC as your captain. If your VC doesn't quite do what you were hoping, you get a second crack and you can put your captain on someone as you usually would. I'll be going VC Tamalolo. If he scores 80+, I'll take that. If not, I think I'll probably go with Fifita as captain this week. I'm going to try and not captain backs for a while and see how that goes for me. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'll be going with Mark Tapau, VC. Cowboys have conceded the most amount of points this year to front row forward, so I can see him having a big game. And then my captain is likely to be Fifita.
Good stuff. I agree. Hopefully Fifita goes large this week after having the week off. Injuries and suspensions, a few this week. SASA, probably the big one, going to hurt a few teams who would have been relying on him. He's out for a week. Wade Graham got off, which is not good news for Capewell and Sorensen owners. And Matt Scott is suspended as well, but not too many injuries. A few players coming back, so we'll parlay that straight into the teams. Mate, why don't you talk us through sort of the first couple of games, because there's a few players of interest here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So the first guy that we've got jotted down here is Coruscant. So he's obviously back from suspension. And, yeah, he's coming up against the Cowboys, who have conceded more points to hookers than any other team. So If you're a Coruscant owner, get excited. He's also a potential vice captaincy option. We saw what Smith did against them last week. Gostowski's back, but he's only probably going to score you 10 to 20 points, nothing more than that. And the talk of the town at the moment, Tuala, for the Cowboys, played off the bench the last couple of games, gets a start in the centres this week ahead of Hampton, and he looks like a pretty good cheapie, but we'll touch on him a little bit later on. Doe at fullback, yeah, you can't really be selecting him or get too, I don't know, too caught up in him. I mean, he might be a daily fantasy kind of guy or also a perfect eight selection, potentially. We've got Cameron Murray finally comes back into the starting side, which is fantastic for us that have held him this long, and then Burgess moves to the right edge. And also Nichols is in after a few weeks out of the side, which is good. Also, he's got a pretty low break even, and he'll be quite handy this week and then can be moved on next week. For the Sharks, you've got Fifita, who's back after being rested last week. However, with Graham, I believe he got off, that Capewell is not in the side, and also Sione Katoa has not made on into the back line despite Valentine Holmes playing for Queensland. Corey Norman has been dropped for drinking whilst being injured, so just continues on Parramatta's absolutely horrific season. And then we've got SASA out, suspended. We spoke to him. Ryan Madison is back after missing last week with a HIA. However, Orbison remains in the centres, which is a big bummer for an owner such as myself, because we thought that he would shift back into the second row with Guerra playing for New South Wales. And then the last one is Eisenhuth, who starts at lock after coming off the bench last week.
Perfect, mate. Nailed it. Like you said, a couple of these boys we'll discuss a bit further as we go on. There's plenty to talk about in trade time this week, so I think it's best if we get right to it. Let's just very quickly some of the more popular trades and some of the least popular. Some of the more popular sells. I'll just list them and then we'll go into them in detail. So people are trading out RFM, Fisher-Harris, Havili, all not playing this week. Hess, Kenner, who people had hoped would come back in this week, who didn't quite make it. Hiku, people are still selling Kakao, which we've spoken about in previous weeks. Some people are doing that, some are not. Lachlan Croker, who's injured, and then Robbie Rocco and Jake Trbojevic, who we'll talk about a bit later. People are buying Moylan, Burgess, Tapau, Tuala, Tau Malolo, Tamari Martin, Jesse Ramen Noodles, Isan Masters, Ryan Madison, and Fifita. So there's a few guns there who we've definitely spoken about over the last month or so. You know, Burgess, Tapau, Tau Malolo, Fifita, Madison, Masters in particular. Probably don't need to go into too much detail about those guys. Let's cover some of the other boys, though. Let's start with Moylan. Talk of the town, massive score last week with the 6 try assists. BE negative 37, probably going to make between 120 and 140K in the next couple of weeks. But you're sort of the king of analysing the draw and who matches up well and who scores well against teams in certain positions. What's it looking like for Moylan over the next month?
Pretty shitty, to be honest, mate. So he plays the Rabbitohs, Tigers, Broncos and Warriors before the bye. The Rabbitohs rank conceded the second least amount of points to 5-8. The Tigers and the Broncos are equal 9th, and then the Warriors 13th. So that's pretty much as bad as you can get for halves that are what they're, I guess, favourable versus least favourable next few games ahead. I mean, we do need to point out as well the Warriors, when he plays them in round 16, they'll be missing all their stars. So Souths could just have a huge win that game. So maybe you just need to throw out what we've seen previously in the season, and he could go big. But the Rabbitohs, Tigers and Broncos are shaping up to be tough encounters for Moylan. So, I mean, looking at that draw, if he averages 40 to 50 over that four-week period, which I think is pretty reasonable considering what he's done apart from that 130-point game, he could be around about 20K more than what he is right now when you're looking to trade him out in round 13. So you kind of really need to ask yourself, is it worth it? Because you're going to be looking to trade into, say, Sean Johnson in round 17. Is it worth the trade?
Yeah, from I was looking at him early in the week, but I'm going to pass. I think if you did get him, you're really getting him for 2 weeks. You know, his score this week and then another price rise next week until that 134 drops out of his rolling average. And then you might move him on to Widdop. You know, so he might get you 40 points this week and maybe make you 100 grand over the next 2 weeks. But you know, is it worth the trade? With people are definitely into the teens of trades left. I think Moylan scored in single digits a couple of weeks ago as well, which is not particularly exciting. So I'm going to pass and focus on some other guys who I think can score a bit more and potentially make a bit more money long term.
Yeah, and I think as well, just pointing out that if you are going to do what you said and wait 2 weeks, then you're trading Widdop to the week that he's going to miss. So you're effectively going to be holding Moylan. You kind of have to hold Moylan through to round 17 because Sean Johnson isn't going to be there too. So who are you going to trade into for round 17 coverage if it's not one of those two guys?
Yeah, exactly. I think Widdop and Johnson are going to be must-haves over the next month. So I've got Milford, who I was thinking of selling to Moylan, but I'm just going to sit a week, stick to my original plan, which was to trade him to Widdop next week.
Yep, and I think that I'll probably be doing the same just because I will be making two trades this week, but I'm going to be looking to try and bring in a couple of keepers or a cheapie if possible. Whereas Moylan just seems like, as you said, a bit of a cash grab. And if you look at what he's done previously, so 134, obviously, then he's got 52, 9, 56, 47, 43, 22, and 83. So that's far too inconsistent for me. And then it's a relatively tough draw. Coming up into the bye in round 7. So, yeah, I'll give him a skip, I think. Moving on to Sam Burgess. So he played 67 minutes last week and scored pretty well. I think he scored 68. So if you ignore week 11, where he played just 30 minutes and had an injury and then only scored 15 points, his past month has been pretty bloody good. 68, 58, 79, and 56. So I was really considering him as well, but then obviously you got to consider 16, and he's probably going to be missing then, and then misses round 17. So you'll have him for round 13, 14, 15, and then he misses 2 weeks.
Yeah, that round 16 is really annoying. A lot of uncertainty. I read an article this week saying that the players aren't necessarily going to be forced to play that game, but you'd have to think that most of them would still choose, you know, to represent their country. So I'm working on the assumption that these guys will miss that game. Burgess was on my never again list at the start of the year, but I'm slowly coming around and I'm probably 80% likely to trade him in this week. I think I just want those points this week. I really want to jump up into that top 1,000 this week. And for that reason, I think I'm probably going to get on him.
Yeah. And I mean, if you can cover him for round 16, 17, sure. But I think both those rounds are going to be quite difficult to cover. So I'm probably going to steer clear of Burgess for that.
All right, no worries. Tapau's the next man here. He's sort of 80K more than Burgess. I'd sort of think that they're comparable players. Tapau's, you know, maybe he's 5 points a game more. Tapau's on my never again list, and he'll stay on my never again list. So I can't really analyze him too much, but I think you've brought him in the last few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, I brought him in last week and was very happy with his performance. I mean, it was always going to be tough up against the Raiders. I think they've only conceded the ninth fewest amount of points to front row forwards this year. So to produce 64 points in 64 minutes at 64 base is an incredible effort. So he's got scores of 64, 74, 47, 86, and 97 in his past 5 weeks. So I reckon he's back. And then this week, weekend, obviously, you're missing Jake Trbojevic. So I can see him playing close to 80 minutes and then against a side that has been absolutely horrific against the middle forwards. So I can see him going close to tonning up this weekend. So he'll be my VC.
All right, good luck to you. Next man on the list, Tuala from the Cowboys. Now, we've gone deep. We've done some actual investigative research, spoken to our Cowboys insider, who's basically told us that he's been a gun in Queensland Cup for the last couple of years. The risk is obviously with Kane Linnett coming back. But in Cowboys circles, they're asking, A, who's actually ahead in the pecking order now between Tuala and Justin O'Neill? And B, could Linnett potentially play in the second row? So coach has been talking him up, looks likely to get some sort of a chance anyway to prove himself. If not, he could hopefully just drop out of the side rather than going back to the bench, so he doesn't become that AE nightmare. I'm going to jump on. I'm actually thinking of trading Latrell out for Tuala to get that number for this week, and then using that cash to get Burgess or someone like that. So I'm pretty keen on Tuala. What about you?
Yeah, slowly coming around, I think. My main concern is Lynette and what happens when he comes back. So I think he's in the reserves this week. Does he kind of slowly make his way onto the bench, or does he, you know, shift into the forwards and play reduced minutes? It's going to be quite interesting. The Cowboys are screaming out for pace, and I believe that this is what this guy has. He's been killing it in the Queensland Cup for a couple of years. So, yeah, my concern is just around the job security, but at 177K, and I've got some deadwood in the likes of Katoa on my bench, and if I can turn him into someone that potentially is going to make money and cover round 17, then, you know, it kind of makes sense. However, there's also the thought that you could potentially just save the trade and not make it.
Yeah, no, look, let's say he's good for 40 to 45 this week. Yeah, it's a tricky one. Again, I'm probably 80% on pulling that trade. There's no actual trades that I really like this week, you know, no sort of Monday afternoon trades that I made and locked in. I'm sort of a bit 50-50 on exactly what to do, to be honest.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm kind of preparing myself for next week. So the trade, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but the trade that I'm probably going to make is going to free up a lot of cash for me and then allow me to do the Milford to Widdop trade, and then hopefully have a bit more cash up my sleeve so I can, you know, bring in a Toby Harris in 2 weeks or something like that as well.
Yeah, yep. All right, Taumalolo, he's been a gun, been having a great last month or so, particularly with Matt Scott, Scott Bolton, Cohen Hess, Gavin Cooper out of the side this week. He has to play 70-plus minutes, which is the reasoning for me behind putting the VC on him. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, look, if he was in my side, and I am still seriously considering moving one of my origin players onto to Taumalolo this week, then he would... Yeah, be up there with Tapau for me as a vice-captain option and for all the reasons that you said.
Jesse Rahman from the Sharks obviously had a great game on the weekend against the Knights.
Mate, it's Jesse Rahman Noodles, please.
Jesse Rahman Noodles. He's had a great last couple of weeks, 113 and 68.
What kind of ramen noodles do you like?
I don't really like them, to be honest. I don't like...
Really?
I don't like the taste of the soupy stuff.
Oh, mate, I love it. Give me... And I always have to order double eggs.
Oh, gross.
Love it. Give me and then probably miso. Ooh, that's good too. I like the miso flavored ramen noodles, so they're pretty good. Even the devil ones, so you can generally pick them up. I mean, you just went to Japan, you know what I'm talking about, the spicy ramen.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah, no, but I'd just feast it on katsu curries. Love them.
Yeah.
Love them.
You can't get it anywhere here. No, there's no good places. It's just all in the broth, mate. All in the broth, and they don't seem to get that right here.
Mate, you have a lot more options where you work compared to where I work. We have a fish and chip shop and a chicken shop, and that's it.
That would do you fine, mate.
Yeah, chicken burger and chips, can't complain. I'm not too keen on ramen, to be honest. Obviously, going to the Knights next year, I think it's job security. There's no issues there, but I'm going to focus on other players.
Yeah, 465K, so he's not cheap. Does have the break even at -28. Scores of 113 and 68 in his past 2 weeks. Did score the three tries, but Yeah, I think there's just a couple of other options in the center wing that I'll be looking at as my keepers for the season, and I think he's just short of that. But he does have solid base at 30 base points per game, which is nothing to laugh at as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in a week with when you've got Tuala, who's 300 grand cheaper, you know, and with center wings, if they get a try or something, you know, he could very easily score the same as Ramon this week for 300k less.
Yep, agree.
Masters. Have you got Masters into your side yet?
I don't, mate. I skipped it that week because he was playing the Warriors and I thought he was going to have a pretty shitty game, which he did, and then end up going for Nua the week after. And then was caught shy with Lolo here coming back into the side and thought that he might lose goal-kicking duties, which he hasn't. But if you just look at what he's done, apart from that Warriors game, he's been really, really good, and he's a definite keeper this season.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. He'll stay in my centre wing all season with Fanua, Madison and Rapana. That'll probably be the four that I run if I do end up selling Latrell this week. Madison and Fifita are pretty self-explanatory. Jump on them. Now, some of the players who aren't in the top 10, a couple of guys who are under 200k who are starting this week, Adam Dwayhe, who we mentioned earlier, and then Corey Dennis from the Knights, who's in for Nathan Ross. If you're looking for a really left field cheapie, I wouldn't recommend it, but Corey Dennis could get you 12 points if you're lucky. DCE, not kicking anymore with Hodkinson in the side. Scored only 58 last week with a try. Are you still hanging on?
Yeah, I'm holding on, mate, and I'll probably be holding on for a few weeks. I was thinking about trading him out to Widdop next week, but I think I'll be moving Milford on and then holding DCE to cover round 16 for me.
Okay, fair enough. If people didn't have him, would you recommend him as an option to buy at all?
No, I don't think so. Scored 58 last week with the try and a few other attacking stats. Did kick some goals when Hodkinson went off, but losing the goal-kicking duties really does kill him, and I can't see him being anywhere near the top four halves come the end of the season.
Agreed. Matt Eisenhuth from the Tigers is quite interesting. Back into the starting side, at lock. He's a sort of a 60 to 65 minute player. A little bit of a plodder maybe. You know, decent NRL player. But when you're priced at the same price as Burgess, Masters and co, I think you've got to look at those other guys first.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. The value in his price is gone. Couldn't be touching him at that price now unless he's playing 80 minutes.
At that same price, we've got John Sutton from the Rabbitohs. Could be a real pod. Pretty sure he's 5'8 available as well. I've looked at him as a Milford replacement potentially this week as well. 63, 54 and 76 in his last three games. Plays 80 minutes every week. Not sure, mate. I don't think he's the worst pod, to be honest.
Sure, you couldn't do it. I know what he's done the past couple of weeks, but surely you can't jump on Sutton.
Mate, he's been pretty solid all season.
Yeah, I know, and I was really shocked when I looked at his scores today in a little bit more detail, but I don't know. He's just been such a plodder for so long, and what is he? He'd be definitely over 30 now. He'd be early 30s. He's kind of having a very interesting season, but if you look back to, I guess, what he's done and just go past the past 3 weeks, so look at round 9, he scored 34. Round 8, he scored 85 with the try. Then round 7, he scored 29. Then round 6, he scored 85 with the try. So, I mean, that's kind of more what we expect from him, I guess. So you take those tries out and he's not getting too much. So the last couple of weeks, round 10, he's had 20 points from evade. And then in round 12, he's got a try to get him up to 76. And he also had a line break and a line break assist as well. So he's still someone that I'm probably going to steer clear of.
Yeah, fair enough. Stop throwing stats at me. I don't like it.
Yeah, you hate facts, mate.
Well, you talk about Ferguson then, because for some reason you seem keen on him. Not overly keen, sorry, but as an option.
Yeah, I think definitely. Like he's having a really good fantasy season this year and does get the start at fullback this week with Tedesco out. Hasn't scored under 50 points in the past month, but the Roosters do have a tough draw ahead. So, I mean, that is something to keep in mind. His base is 35 points per game, which is really, really good for an outside back player in the game. So, you know, I think if you buy him, you're probably buying him at a reasonable price at 500, a little bit over 500K. And then he's got some pretty good scores in the past couple of weeks. But again, he's probably borderline as a keeper, center wing. But he started the season off really well, flattened out a little bit, but has been good the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, his scores have actually been pretty consistent. He is at his highest price of the year at the moment with a break even of 64. But, you know, if you're getting consistently at least a floor of 40, 45 from a centre wing each week with no attacking stats, upside if he can jag a try or something, it's probably not the worst call.
Yeah, but in saying that, I think there's better options like a Masters or a Finua, obviously, if you don't have him. And a guy that we're going to talk about in two more, who I think could be a pretty good option this week as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Cody Walker has really struggled the last two or three weeks. Tough matchup with the Sharks this week, but does come up against the Titans and Eels after that. He's a no for me with the likes of Widdop and Johnson and co coming up in the next few weeks. But did you had him earlier in the year, I think, didn't you?
No, never had him.
Okay.
Never had him. But another player that I'm considering just on the basis that he's so cheap at the moment, 449. We saw what he did over the past, up until about round nine, he only had one score below 60, I think. And then the past 3 weeks, he's had an 18, 31, and 44. He's had some pretty tough games. He's got the Gold Coast and Parramatta ahead. So you could bring him in this week and then hopefully get some really good scores in those couple of weeks and then trade him out in round 17.
Yeah, worth a look. Worth a look. Now, the next guy who you just hinted at is Cheekam. Back-to-back 80-minute games in the second row for an average of 58 with some very solid base stats, centre wing availability. I mean, job security is the question, isn't it? The Tigers chop and change their team quite a bit, and I'm not claiming to be a Tigers expert by any means, but if we had certainty of his job security going forward, he'd be close to a must-have.
Yeah, that dual position is so good and so valuable this year as well. So you hit a nail on the head with the scores, 56 and 60 in the past couple of weeks, playing 80 minutes in the back row. His base has been pretty good, averaging, you know, above 40 there. The concern is obviously just the job security. I mean, he is effectively the new Rocker right now. You've obviously got McQueen sitting around there too, but it looks like they have gone for Cheekam for now, and what is priced just a little bit above 400k, which is really cheap for someone that's doing producing what he is doing, and the BE of 23 is going to drop down again when the 30 in round 10 falls out of his average. So yeah, I'm strongly looking at him this week as a potential keeper for centre wing. But then also a guy that should produce 60 points this week for me. And, potentially is my downgrade option for Crichton, who plays Origin, and then use that cash to bring Widdop next week.
Yeah, mate, I think potential keeper may be a step too far. I mean, he's already he's priced at a 47 average already. If he can average 60, he's going to increase in price by just over 100K. That's working on a magic number of about 8,800, puts him at about 530K. So he's probably undervalued by somewhere between 50 and 100K. And maybe he's like a 19th or 20th man or something for the run home.
Yeah, but it depends where you play him. Like, I'd be playing my centre wing, and if I've got a guy that's averaging 55 to 60 each week there, I mean, he's 100K cheaper than Masters and effectively going to produce the same output. So if that's as long as he does get that, and if those minutes disappear, then I guess you can just trade him out and use the dual to bring in a keeper in either the centre wing or second row. So I'm tossing up between him or Taumalolo this week, and I know the one is definitely a keeper, but the way I look at it is if I go the Cheekam option, that allows me to bring Widdop next week, and then I'm effectively getting two possible keepers for trading out Crichton and also Milford.
Okay. Yeah, it's the dual position is a huge bonus as well. It's very hard this year with the limited number of dual positions, so that could be very useful down the track, definitely. Last guy here on our list is Gutherson. All you wrote on the run sheet is not interested.
Yeah, not keen at all, mate. Okay. Not keen at all. The Eels have been hopeless this year. He's not kicking goals. Scored about 30 on the weekend. Just can't trust him this season.
No, and it's up against the Knights this week. Who knows what's going to happen in that game? You know, some of these Para guys could score 100, or Kalen Ponga could score 200. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if you do have him, then he is a definite captain option this week. We've seen what's happened with the Knights, or people playing against the Knights this year. So I know that I was having chats to JT in the office today. I think he's still in the top 100, and he was probably going to put the VC on Taumalolo and then looking at doing captain on Gutherson. And I kind of laughed at him before I found out that they were playing the Knights. So, yeah, I think it's probably worthwhile, but I wouldn't be bringing him in if you don't have him.
No, agreed. Agreed. Okay, just quickly, I don't know if you saw this on the run sheet, but the last page is Origin players to sell. A lot of people talking about, you know, what Origin players are they going to sell? What are they going to hold? You know, people are going to sell Tedesco, Latrell Mitchell. You've got Maloney, bloody Wilfred the other night talking crazily about selling Damien Cook, Crichton, Jai Arrow maybe, Hess, who's sort of dropped off in the last month or so. Jake Trbojevic, a few people talking about selling him. For me, the two expendable ones really are Latrell Mitchell and James Maloney, or potentially Cohen Hess as well. I think for me, Mitchell, what's he made? Mitchell's made 5 runs combined in the last 2 weeks, I think I heard.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Oh. He made 2 last week. Incredible.
2 runs and scored 64 points.
Yep.
It's just he's very frustrating to own, even though he has been quite consistent this year in comparison to prior years. But I'm thinking of selling him to Tuala this week. And then Maloney, you're sort of the Maloney owner of the two of us. With Cleary back, have you sold him or are you thinking about selling him?
Yeah, mate, I sold him to Milford when the week before Cleary came back, and also the week before Milford's run at Suncorp started. And that didn't really turn out that well for me. So, but I think he's done quite well with Cleary in the side. He's retained the goal kicking, but yeah, I wouldn't feel bad about trading him out.
Yeah, no, agreed. And yeah, and Hess, I wouldn't feel bad about selling him. But the rest of them, you know, like James Tedesco, Tom Trbojevic, Jake Trbojevic, Cook, Crichton, Arrow. You know, I'd be holding all those guys. Really, they only miss one extra game. With backing up and whatnot, there's potentially to either have less minutes or maybe miss one more. But if we assume that they all back up, they only miss the one extra game. So it's just the guys of, you know, the borderline keepers, I think, in Latrell Mitchell and James Maloney and Cohen Hess that would be the ones on my list.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before, I'm probably going to trade out Crichton this week. He's priced at his absolute max at the moment, 650K after 3 really strong weeks. Scored a try a couple of weeks ago, had a couple of line breaks last week and a line break assist 2 weeks ago as well. So heaps of attacking stats there, and that's making up his big point. So, yeah, I'll probably end up trading him out. I think there's a dime a dozen amongst those second row forwards with a heap of those guys averaging 66 or 65 points per game. So I'm pretty confident that I can pick someone else up that's going to do effectively the same job.
Does the fact that he's playing off the bench for New South Wales and unlikely to play huge minutes sway you at all?
No, not really. I think you need the personnel this week, and just by the cash that you can generate by trading him out at that value does allow you to bring in someone like a Widdop next week. Because frankly, if you're looking at who the targets are for the halves, there's not really anyone else but Widdop, is there?
No. SJ maybe if he's fit, but like you've said, would miss 16 and obviously quite highly priced. So Widdop's definitely the man for next week, and then SJ potentially at some stage.
Yeah, so I mean, so Widdop, 550K, break even at 90 and plays the Bulldogs. So, I mean, I've got no reservations that he could, probably. Yeah, I mean, you pointed that out a little bit early in the season, but the Bulldogs been quite good this year in terms of conceding points. However, they've, they're about average for conceding against 5-8. So I can see him, you know, scoring 50 to 60 and then potentially not dropping that much. So whereas Milford has just been an absolute debacle.
Yeah, Milford's been an absolute joke. So trades for me this week, the two that I'm looking at is Latrell Mitchell out to Tuala, and then presuming that Capewell is not a late inclusion, I'll trade him on Friday night to maybe Burgess. I'm thinking of Burgess. That's going to leave me with around about, that's going to cost me 100, but I'm going to make 400 there. I think that's going to leave me with something like between 350 and 450 in bank. And then next week I'll be looking at Milford to Widdop and maybe one more upgrade. The week after that, George Jennings out and John Olive in to bank another couple of hundred. And then hopefully from there I'll be set to, you know, to make a few more upgrades pre-round 17 and set myself up for the run home. So that's sort of the way I'm thinking for the next couple of weeks. What about you for this week and then going forward?
Yeah, look, I think I'll be looking at either that Taumalolo or Cheekham trade in, and that really just depends on the cash, because I don't know how I'm going to generate cash over the next week or two to do that Milford to Widdop trade. Just look at the rest of my side, and obviously Olive that you spoke of, and we'll be looking to downgrade Orbison to him in a couple of weeks. But again, that's only 100K. So I kind of feel that I need to make the money this week. And then, because I also want to bring in like a Tohu Harris as well in the next couple of weeks. And then obviously Sean Johnson for either Dally Cherry Evans or Adam Reynolds for round 17.
Beautiful. Yeah, I cannot wait for the day that I can sell JT and bring Sean Johnson in.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Although Johnson's just been... Who knows where he's at the moment, yeah. Mates? I mean, you know more than me, but, you know, he could just – they could end up, the news coming out and said he's going to miss the rest of the year. It's been just so weird.
Yeah, well, I did see a tweet from Wacko tonight saying that Mason Leno is playing in reserve grade this week, which is a good indication that Sean Johnson will be good to go next week, or else they would have held Leno out.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right.
So – good stuff there, mate. Not the best of luck to you this week. I'm hoping that I can get a little jump on you, you know, maybe gain 50 points back or so and get a little bit closer.
Mate, if you've got Taumalolo, and if I don't get Taumalolo this week, there's every chance that could happen, because I think he's going to go big.
All right. I think you should go with Cheekham.
Thanks, mate. I think I'll follow my own gut there.
Nah, thanks very much for your time tonight, mate. Thanks very much to everyone for downloading and listening. Good luck for round 13. And hit us up on Twitter, as always, if you've got any questions. Otherwise, we'll speak to you next week.
See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.